universal deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Well, it's November the 9th, 2017, 1 year, 1 day after President Trump was elected, and we are closing in to the final 10 hours of our 34-hour broadcast. I'm David Knight. We're going to take a look at some news here. We've got a lot of updates to stories that have been around for a while, but interesting updates nevertheless. We've got some updates on the NFL. We got some updates on Harvey Wood and the cult of Hillary, according to Donna Brazile. She actually called the Hillary campaign a cult. Yeah, they did a hostile takeover, or I guess you could say a leveraged buyout. She leveraged her criminal contacts and her influence peddling. She leveraged that to get tens of millions of dollars and then use that to buy the Democrat Party and basically buy the nomination. That's what happened. And it's interesting that Donna Brazile is still out there selling the phony idea that the DNC was hacked. It was not hacked. William Binney, somebody who knows more than anyone about hacking. He did it for the NSA for decades. I mean, he's hacked the best. And he knows what capabilities are. And also, John McAfee, I talked to him at the very beginning, said, look, all this stuff about, well, we had fingerprints on this and everything. Subsequent to that, of course, WikiLeaks showed us documentation about how the NSA and other groups work, where they can spoof attacks and they can make it look like it came from anyone, especially the usual suspects, you know, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. They have all the programs set up to do that. And as John McAfee said, just common sense would tell you that you're not going to leave your own fingerprints on something. You're going to try to make it look like it came from somebody else. Well, then we saw how they actually did it. WikiLeaks didn't release the code to do that. What they did was they gave us the manual so we could understand what they're doing. And the irony of this is that as Donna Brazile is selling her book, Hacked, we had two insider leaks of memos and information from within the DNC, as they tried to say that anybody who says that that's what really happened is pushing a conspiracy theory. They came up with the whole Russian thing, and they're keeping it going so they can fight against President Trump. And, of course, now we've got Hillary shopping around for a second Pulp Fiction sequel. Yeah, filthy files that she that she had created for her, the filthy fiction. Now she's looking to extend that because she's going to keep fighting against Trump and keep fighting against the Trump agenda for her own political purposes until she's locked up. She's got to be locked up. She has to be locked up not only to defeat her. This is not just a self-preservation move. This is something that the American public has to see. We have to see that people who break the law go to jail. And quite frankly, if anybody in the Trump campaign broke the law, send them to jail. They haven't come up with anything like that yet. But we have to start holding these people accountable. They cannot have a different standard from everybody else. Today, we're going to be joined by Gerald Celente. We're going to be talking about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. As I pointed out yesterday, regardless of what the internal politics are there and what the back game is, what is it going to mean for us? What is it going to mean for our economy? Well, as Gerald Celente said, the Saudi war drums mean gold, oil, and cryptocurrency prices are going to spike. So we're going to talk to him about the direct effects on you. And, of course, it's also the war. And understand that there's going to be economic consequences with gold and cryptocurrency. We've already seen it happening with oil. The guy who is the crown prince has been following a policy of reducing production. So that's going to cause oil prices to go up. It already has spiked oil prices. But understand, it is also going to create massive warfare. We have probably one of the worst starvations about to happen with this blockade of Yemen that we have ever seen since Madeleine Albright starved over 500,000 kids. And then when she was questioned on it, she said, yeah, it was worth it. I don't care. You know, my politics, I don't care if I kill 500,000 kids with starvation. Apparently, neither do the Saudis or the U.S. government today. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
You
from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. It's Thursday, November the 9th, 2017, and we're now down to about 10 hours left out of our 34-hour broadcast to celebrate the election of President Trump 1 year ago, a year ago and a day right now. And there's been a lot of celebration, a lot of things that have happened. Take a look at this headline here that we see. French President Macron says the battle against jihadism will still go on even though ISIS has been defeated. Think about that for a second. How did ISIS get defeated? Does President Trump get any credit for that? Does Obama get any blame or John McCain for creating, for funding, for training, for arming ISIS, for blocking the Russians from stopping ISIS after we stopped blocking them, after the real turnaround happened this summer when President Trump stopped the CIA from arming ISIS? Let's understand what happened here. The CIA was arming ISIS. The Pentagon was arming some of the guys who were fighting ISIS, some of the other groups. And it didn't take very long. It only took a few months for ISIS to be defeated in Syria. Now, they don't have a headquarters anymore, but of course, that is not going to stop them. They're still going to be, as Alex has been talking about, there's a lot of CIA surrogates that are going to be roaming the area, roaming the world, looking for people to attack. But I think it's interesting that as they look at the collapse of ISIS, as the regime change war has collapsed and ISIS has been defeated in Syria, that they cannot ask themselves or make a point as to how that actually happened. President Obama's White House secretary is gloating about the fact, the five-year anniversary of him getting elected for the second time. He says this is the he was the first president to be elected twice with more than 50% of the vote since Eisenhower. Well, no, actually he wasn't. Ronald Reagan was elected twice with more than 50% of the vote. But what they're really doing here, understand, is taking a sideways swipe at President Trump's election as well as the Electoral College. And if you want to know why you want to have an Electoral College, just take a look at Virginia. Take a look at the map, and you'll see that that entire map that's colored, and it always bothers me, always it flips my mind when I see Republicans in red. It should be the Democrats in red. They have embraced Marxism, socialism. They should be in red. Of course, that was a trick that the mainstream media played on us. They always play to the opposite, don't they? But when you look at the map, they've got it colored for the Republicans everywhere except two large urban areas, and that's the Virginia Beach area and the areas around Washington, D.C. And that's why out of the last five elections, including the one that we just had, only one Republican has been elected in Virginia. Virginia, by and large, except for those two urban centers, is very conservative. But out of the last five elections, Virginia has gone to Democrats. So why is this something that the Democrats think they have now? There you go, right there. Yeah, there's one little area there in the center, and I think that may be Charlottesville that's blue. That's, but it's for the most part, it's those two areas, Washington suburbs and Virginia Beach, because those are people that basically are there. They're not really from Virginia. They have been transplanted there for their jobs, for the military, or for the federal government. And think about some of the people that have been governors of Virginia, if you think that this is a Republican state on statewide elections. We've had people like Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's running mate. We had people like Terry McAuliffe, the crook who has been connected to the Clintons for so long. The Hiltons, I guess we should call them. Almost call them the Hiltons. But anyway, if you look at this, you understand that getting a governor, a Democrat governor elected in New Jersey, is no great honor. It's no great victory. And it's no great victory to get a Democrat governor elected in Virginia, frankly. It's typically the case. Nevertheless, the Democrats think that they can take control of Congress after these two big victories of getting Democrats elected in Democrat states. They had lost all four elections where they tried to get Democrats elected in Republican areas, even though they spent astronomical amounts of money. There wasn't much money spent for the Republican. And, of course, the Republican that was running was a lobbyist. So you had a Republican lobbyist running against a Democrat Goldman Sachs banker. Flip a coin. Does it really matter one way or the other? It seems to matter to the Democrats, but it would not matter to me if I was there. Certainly some of the policies that the Democrat is going to do are something that you don't want to see. It would have been much better for them to have the Republican candidate, even if he was a former lobbyist. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders says that Donald Trump's election was an unprecedented disaster for America. Well, let me tell you what the unprecedented disasters have been. It was an unprecedented disaster when Lenin took over the Soviet Union 100 years ago. It was an unprecedented disaster when the communists took over Venezuela, and that's still that drama is still playing out. Or when the Marxists took over Zimbabwe and South Africa. Those were disasters. And when you look at Bernie Sanders and you look at the left, they're talking about the 100th anniversary of the Red October, the Russian Revolution on RT. They're talking about it a great deal. And one of the things that they had is one of their articles was Westerners are more into revolutionary nostalgia than Russians are. Bernie Sanders is Exhibit A. Exhibit B is a guy they just elected in New Jersey as governor. Liberty Hangout says New Jersey just elected a near communist to be their governor. When you talk about these different people and the policies that they advocate, understand that in New Jersey, for example, if you look at the difference between this lieutenant governor who was running, what she was campaigning on, and what the Democrat was campaigning on, it's a pretty clear decision. And the other guy is an authoritarian, statist, socialist, near Marxist. And of course, she could not win because she's being drugged down by that anchor, Chris Christie, who only has 14% approval rating. But the lieutenant governor that was running for governor wanted to roll back New Jersey's already strict gun control laws. The Democrat Murphy wanted to increase them. He also wanted to increase taxes on the purchase of firearms. I didn't know he could even buy firearms in New Jersey. I thought they had basically cranked that down to where anybody that was even thinking about getting a gun would go to jail. If they saw you searching on the internet, I would imagine the New Jersey police would come kick down your door and drag you off right there at that point. She was opposed to raising the minimum wage. And she said, because of economics, you know, we got these certain economic laws that have been proven over time. It does not work. While Murphy wanted to raise it to $15, she focused her campaign around lowering New Jersey's very high property taxes. But he said, no, we're going to keep that. We're going to raise taxes on millionaires. We're going to raise taxes on corporations, and we're going to legalize so we can tax marijuana. How does that work? Kind of like the same way that the taxes on tobacco work. They put these astronomical taxes on tobacco, and what do you get? You get a black market in cigarettes. And that's happening now in California. They said, we're going to legalize marijuana. We have to. The voters said so. But we'll put a 45% tax on the sale of marijuana. Well, guess what? You're going to have a black market. And remember the guys that were, the guy that was killed, I can't remember his name, the black guy that was choked to death in New York. He was selling Lucy's, Eric Gardner. He was selling Lucy's on the sidewalk. Basically, what they would do is get cigarettes and sell them one at a time to people because the taxes were so high. And they kept busting him on it. And then he got tired of that, talked back to the cop, and the cop choked him to death. That's prohibition for you. That's taxation for you. And if you tax it enough, you're going to create a black market like that. People are going to find ways to get around oppressive taxes. And prohibition simply doesn't work. Meanwhile, an MSNBC host says that Trump has gone from a surprise victor to the skunk at the garden party. Well, that's kind of harsh. I don't think that that's actually the case, but the GOP establishment truly hates him. I talked about the Bush's book yesterday, and now we got Bob Corker saying we need to hold hearings and take away the president's nuclear weapons authority. Yeah, going nuclear on President Trump. That's how upset he is. When we come back, we've got some updates on the self-driving car in Las Vegas. Yet another reason not to go to that place. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome Welcome back. I'm David Knight. And you know, we look at the election, it is kind of escape, recapture, just like the Great Escape. we occasionally escape the clutches of the statist control freaks, and then you lose some, and they come back in power. It seems like it's always this ratchet. Unfortunately, what has happened is that just like in the Great Escape, they keep ratcheting it down, and they start to execute our freedoms one by one. And that's what we see happening in the government. But we've had a lot of major victories in this last year. As we look at what's happened to the EPA, we look at what's happened with the collapse of ISIS. Even the French president says, okay, well, they've collapsed in Syria, but don't worry, we're going to bring them to Europe, and we're going to have some terrorist attacks in Europe. And, of course, they're going to try to do that in the United States. And that would not have happened if Hillary Clinton had been president. Let me tell you, that would not have happened. It turned around when President Trump stopped arming ISIS, stopped arming Al-Qaeda. That's when it turned around. It turned around this summer. All right, we're going to go back to the news here, and I want to talk about gun control. I want to talk about the control that they're taking away from us in terms of our transportation. We've got an amazing update here from Las Vegas. But there's some pushes for gun control. Even the Republicans are now talking about gun control in the wake of this Texas shooting. They really kind of laid off of it with Las Vegas. That was so phony. They didn't want you to see what was happening there. We may not ever know exactly what happened there, but it was not what they were telling us. They were feeding us a pack of lies, and they just kept changing the lies. And it's like, well, okay, would you believe, it's kind of like Get Smart. Would you believe that this happened? Okay, well, would you believe that happened? And no, we don't believe any of the stuff that they were telling us happened. Yes, I believe people were killed there. But that's about the only thing I could say that I believe about that narrative. The rest of this stuff is totally phony. Before we go back to gun control and the crazy stuff that USA Today is doing with the pushing the idea of a chainsaw bayonet, this is something that has set social media, Twitter on fire as people are laughing about the absurd video that was put out by USA Today as they're trying to frighten people about AR-15s. They have truly jumped the shark, folks. They have gone full onion on everybody. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But this is the 34-hour broadcast here at InfoWars. As I point out, this is the last 10 hours we have of it. We're doing this. We started this on the one-year anniversary of President Trump being elected. We called it American Rebirth and Renaissance. And we're starting to see that happen. We've seen a lot of signs of that happening in the last year. And as a result, we put a lot of products, our most popular products, on 50% off sale, as well as free shipping. Here are some of the products on 50% off sale. Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, both of those, 50% off with free shipping. We have Biome Defense 50, that is our probiotic formula. That is 50% off with free shipping. All Apparel, 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, is 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash is now 50% off with free shipping. You get the idea? We've got a lot of products, 50% off with free shipping. And DNA Force is back in stock. It's been out of stock for a while. It is one of our most expensive products, very difficult to produce, very expensive to produce. That is now 25% off with free shipping. So check out the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We couldn't have victories like this if you didn't support us. And so the products that you buy not only support your health, they support free speech and an independent media that concerns them so much. As we reported the last couple of days, we had a congressman berating a Twitter executive as to why an InfoWars story, which was basically quoting what someone had said. That was the headline. We quoted what an imam said about de Blasio being asleep at the wheel about this radical jihadi that was in New York. We quoted that. And they said, how could this be trending? This is an InfoWars story. The congressman was outraged, Quigley. And the Twitter quisling said, we took that down. We made sure that that got down. And, well, why did it take you so long? Well, we'll talk about that later privately, Congressman. Let's not embarrass Twitter too much on this. Let's talk about gun control here. Let's, first of all, go to CNN. Mr. CNN, Cuomo. He says, let's not abuse the facts and come after the victims. Here's what he had to say.
To the dead by abusing the facts. So let's start with them. In the wake of the mass shootings, gun control or lack thereof gets hot. facts become a casualty of poison politics. Gun rights advocates will say that guns save more lives.
Let's pause that a second, because the reason he started out with, let's not abuse the victims here, is because immediately after every one of these things, they jump in with their political agenda. And that's fine. We understand that's coming. And we understand that they don't really care. But they want to pretend that they really care. And, you know, I think it's legitimate to start talking about the fact that we have a right to defend ourselves as they talk about the taking away our God-given rights. So all the stuff about, well, let's not talk about this just yet. People are trying to assimilate this, and let's just send them our thoughts and prayers. People on both sides of this issue do this. But it's very disingenuous for Cuomo to say that. And it's very disingenuous for CNN to do that, because they do that after every single shooting. And so he begins it with that. But let's take a look at some of his statistics that he's going to offer us.
They cite statistics that show guns are used 2.5 million times a year in self-defense. And of those instances, the vast majority of times, the gun owner need only brandish his weapon or fire a warning shot to turn back his attacker. But here's what they don't say. First, federal research on gun violence is spotty. That's a political problem. We don't want to look at this closely enough. Why?
Before we do that, hang on a second. You know, we just said sometimes people just need to brandish their gun. I can tell you that I would not be here if my grandfather had not been able to simply brandish a gun and stop an individual who would have killed him. His brother-in-law had just been killed. They had a route where they would collect payment by cash. And an individual had hidden in the car of his brother-in-law and murdered him with a hatchet and stuffed his body into the trunk. The police didn't find him. They searched for him for several days. It was my grandfather who found him. And shortly after that, he started to get in his car, had the same job, started to get in his car. And there was a guy behind the seat waiting to attack him. And he pulled out his gun. He always carried a gun. He carried a gun when he was a streetcar conductor, and he never stopped carrying a gun. He never got a permit from the government. This is back in the early 20th century. I don't know if they even had such a thing then. That was before they started infringing on our rights. He had a constitutional right to carry the gun. He had a God-given right to defend himself. And all he had to do to defend himself was to pull out the gun and point at the guy and said, if I ever see you again, I won't give you a warning. Get out of my car. That doesn't get reported in the FBI databases. That doesn't get reported by CNN's Cuomo, Fredo. Okay, let's go back to what he's going to tell us about the statistics.
Discussion. Second, their suggestion is misleading because it's based on information from the 80s and 90s. The crime rate was much higher then. So they extrapolate data out to today when we have different situation. Their own number creates a frightening reality. For a gun to be used in self-defense 2.5 million times a year, that's once every 13 seconds. All right, so actually counts.
You don't think that that could happen once every 13 seconds? He doesn't want to talk about the real cost of what is really causing this, and that is prohibition. Yeah, we got the Untouchables playing on here. That was when we had people in the streets of Chicago shooting each other over prohibition. Oh, wait, that's still happening. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we were playing a video from CNN's Cuomo. Let's cross-examine his testimony here about gun control. First of all, we're going to continue with this a little bit, but to just recap what we just saw, he is trying to tell us that the gun statistics from the FBI can't be trusted. They're not true. They're 30 years old, he said. Seriously? You think there aren't more current statistics? You chose these statistics, Cuomo, because the ones that are more current also support our case. And you're trying to show something that isn't true. But let's go back to what he has to say. Even if you believe that the FBI hasn't kept any crime statistics for 30 years, as Cuomo was trying to tell us, let's go back and take a look at some more of his lies.
The FBI actually counts the average of justified homicides that involve a gun. And they have about 213 a year from 2005 to 2010. So there's clearly a leap being made here. Those numbers don't size up. So here is the reality. For all the talk about like mental illness as the key, studies show the U.S. doesn't have more mental illness than anywhere else. But we do have 25 times the rate of gun murder. 25 times. Americans own more guns.
Hang on a second. Yeah, we aren't a more mentally ill society, but we are a society that is more addicted to drugs. A society that uses pharmaceutical drugs like SSRIs that they prescribe to people who have depression and other mental illnesses, and it actually exacerbates the condition. They give it for people who have suicidal thoughts, and what are the side effects of it? Suicide. So when we look at what's happening with that, and you want to know what the truly old statistics are? The truly old statistics are that when you create prohibition, as I mentioned, as we're going to break, what is happening now is we see in Chicago, many people pointed out that unfortunately what the murders in terms of the number of people who were shot and killed in Sutherland Springs, Texas at that church, that is a typical weekend in Chicago. Why is that? Well, it goes back to the war on drugs. And we look at the 30,000 plus people that have just been killed in Mexico under very violent terms. And that is spiking up. Why? Because we now have, with the removal of El Chapo, we now have rival gangs attacking each other to try to get control of the black market. That's why they had people in Chicago back during the time of Al Capone shooting each other, having drive-by shootings where they would have fully automatic Tommy guns and shooting up their competition. That's what happens when you have prohibition. And that is the root cause, drug war as well as SSRIs, that is the root cause of the violence that is happening here in America. That's the uncomfortable thing that CNN does not want to address. They do not want to talk about the prescription drugs and the adverse effects that it has on people who are mentally troubled because they're their sponsors. That's why they don't want to talk about this. Let's talk about the way that USAID is doing it, because the lies of Cuomo are a little bit more subtle. We've had a lot of studies. People look at the data, look at the current data, and Cuomo just waved his hands over this. Well, some of this stuff is old. Well, there's newer data. He says, well, this is jumped. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just not going to pay attention to the FBI data. Well, people have looked at the FBI data, and we know where the murdering is occurring. It's occurring, and it's concentrated typically in areas where people do not have the right to carry weapons, or in places that are essentially gun-free zones, either by prohibition or because people didn't think that they needed to protect themselves in church. You know, it was 1993 that Charles Von Wick defended 1,500 people in a liberal church that the attackers knew would not be armed. That's why I talked about him so much on Monday. For 25 years, he's been trying to wake people up in churches and say, you have to protect the people in your churches. It's a very soft target. Have some people in your churches that are armed. And now people have gotten that message. Now you've got a lot of articles about people who are looking into getting members of their church trained, even licensed as bodyguards for liability issues and that sort of thing. But having some trained individuals, they don't have to create a TSA event scanning people as they come into the church. No, you don't want to do that. But you can have a few people that are going to be watchdogs, guard dogs for the congregation. And that's what we've been trying to tell people for 25 years needs to happen. So the only good thing that could come out of this is that people wake up, and it seems that they are waking up. That's why I spent so much time on that particular report on Monday. But as we were talking about that, Piers Morgan comes out and says, are you kidding me when the Texas Attorney General says to do that, to have armed people to protect a congregation? He goes, you're a mindless idiot to say something like that needs to happen. Well, that's what these people like Piers Morgan do. They have their own bodyguards. The politicians have their own bodyguards. And it's about time that we start circling the wagons and start guarding ourselves. That's why we have firearms. And as I've pointed out over and over again, what USA Today and NPR and all the liberal press are doing, they're doing all these exposés on the fearsome AR-15, this military rifle. And nobody should have a military rifle like that. And so USA Today jumped the shark. They put out a little video, and we're going to play this for you. Those of you who are listening on the radio, I'll describe what they're doing. And they are being trolled all over Twitter for the idiocy of this video showing all of the possible modifications to an AR-15, and you will not believe what they put on this. Let's roll that clip. Okay, here's possible modifications. Okay, there's your 100-round magazine. Here's the next one. An underbarrel 12-gauge shotgun. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. A trigger crank. And wait for it. Here it comes. There you go. A chainsaw. Attach under your barrel. Go ahead and cut that. Yeah, a chainsaw AR-15. Where did that come from? Where did these idiots get this? Well, it actually came from a redneck joke, something that you would typically see on Fail Army or something on a YouTube video. And that's what these guys did. They did this as a joke. Let's play that clip and I'll narrate that for people. You got that? He's taking shots at pumpkins on a log and he runs up to it and now he cranks up the chainsaw. He's got strapped to the bottom of his AR-15 and he starts chainsawing the pumpkins and they're laughing hysterically. And USA Today actually puts this out as a possible modification. And so they are getting trolled all over Twitter. One person put up, hey, you could do this. You could have the Colin Kaepernick bipod. And they show the bottom half of a football player's uniform kneeling attached to the bottom of the AR-15. It's absolutely silly. And even the other issues are kind of silly. You know, you talk about a 100-round magazine. That's something that really scares the liberals. Well, think about the fact that this killer had 15 30-round magazines, and he shot 450 shots. It might actually have been easier for him. It would have given an opportunity as he was changing. It would have given an opportunity. There you go. There's a whole bunch of different chainsaw modifications on there. But it would have given somebody an opportunity to, if they'd been armed, to take him out as he was changing the magazine. But that's beside the point. Do you want to limit people like Stephen Williford, the NRA-trained certified instructor who stopped this guy? He had an AR-15. Should he be limited to have to use a shotgun, as the Daily Beast inaccurately reported? Should he have to use a muzzle-loading rifle, as people have said? Hey, you hear it over and over again from liberals. The Second Amendment was written when people had muzzle-loading muskets. And now the technology is too dangerous. Well, we need to have somebody who is a good person with a gun. Say they both had the same gun. The difference was the individual. Do we want to limit the good guy? Because the guy who is going to conduct mass murder is not paying any attention to laws. Okay? There's laws against killing people, aren't there? He's already decided he's going to violate that one. Do you think he's going to care about your gun control laws? And when you look at the war on drugs, do you think you can stop him from getting something? As I've said before, what happened with alcohol when it was prohibited? It got more intensified. What happened with drugs when they got prohibited? It got more intensified. Even marijuana, the synthetic marijuanas and other things that have come up. And of course, it created things like meth. You want to see the invention of the free market? They're not going to come up with stupid things like an underbarrel chainsaw. They're going to come up with stuff that really works. Talk about gun control and the absurd ways it's being pushed. It's not just the USA Today article showing an underbarrel chainsaw attachment for AR-15. That shows the profound ignorance of USA Today and the media about the AR-15. But let's not be distracted by the absurdity here. We have to understand that they're using people's ignorance to try to hype how dangerous this is and to conceal from the public the fact that the guy who shut this down, the guy who shut down the killer, was using an AR-15. You will not hear them talk about that. And they will misrepresent this to take away the ability of good people to defend themselves, to defend others. And we cannot let that happen. So we're going to tell you where these attacks are coming from. They're coming from the media. They're coming from people like Miley Cyrus, who's telling us that we've got to have gun control now to protect ourselves from these evil white men that are out there and so on and so forth. It's very important that we step up and see that this, even the Republicans now are saying, well, we need to talk about gun control a bit here. Uh-huh. Yeah, they didn't do that after the massive shooting in Las Vegas because we saw through the phoniness of it. We've got to see through the phoniness and the disinformation, the deliberate lying that's being done by CNN, by USA Today, by NPR, by all these different news outlets lying to us about what is going on with the AR-15. All right, we've got a sale going on because this is part of our 34-hour broadcast, and we're now in the last 9-10 hours, just a little bit left in our this hour, and we'll have another 9 hours of programming today. This is part of our American Rebirth and Renaissance celebration, celebrating the election of President Trump 1 year ago, and we have put a lot of products on 50% discount. And as I said before, just think about it as a number of tweets about the DNC leaks that were deleted by Twitter. They admit that they took half of the 500,000 tweets that people were putting out there. They were working in collusion with the DNC to try to distract people from the content that came out that we now know. Even Donna Brazile has talked about how Hillary bought the party, bought the nomination. They didn't want you to see that. And so they created this Russian narrative, and then Twitter worked with them to get rid of half of the tweets talking about the content and what had come out. So we've got half off of a lot of different things. We've got half off the Super Male and Super Female Vitality, also free shipping. We have half off our Biome Defense 50, that's our probiotics, half off with that and free shipping. All apparel is 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. And that's a great way to take a baseline of essential minerals and vitamins and do it without taking a lot of pills. It tastes great. I've got it right here. I've been drinking that this morning. 50% off with free shipping. Also, Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula. You don't have to get B12 injections. You can get the same effect just putting Secret 12 under your tongue and leaving it there for about 15 seconds. That is now Secret 12, 50% off with free shipping. Our Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. Take a look at the specials. We appreciate your support. And we are offering massive discounts and free shipping on our most popular products. Okay, finally, let's go back to this USA Today thing and talk about the profound ignorance, the way that they are provoking people. Picking up on a redneck joke video and saying, yeah, you can put a chainsaw underneath this. How would that possibly help anybody? I mean, we were just talking about this yesterday with Lionel. They get so upset about assault rifles because they said, look, they've got an attachment for a bayonet. And I said, oh, yeah, that was a big factor in the shooting, wasn't it? Well, they do one better. Now they show a picture of it with a chainsaw underneath it. You know, who needs a bayonet when you can attach a chainsaw there? Absolutely would not even work. Other people have talked about putting a 12-gauge under the barrel. I don't know that anybody has ever done that. I don't know. You know, depending on the way you do with the 12-gauge, it may or may not be legal. You have to still have a long barrel on the thing or the ATF will get you for a sawed-off shotgun. So would that even work? If it would work, how is that going to make the rifle more dangerous? It would make it less dangerous because you're going to have this massive weight that you're going to be trying to hold out there that's distant from you. You're not going to be able to shoot well with it. Same thing with the trigger crank. Same thing with the bump stock. Okay? It's a gimmick. And they're just trying to scare people as they lie to you about the statistics, as they lie to you about the fact that it was only the killer who had the AR-15. That's what the liberal press is telling you. They will not tell you that the hero had that. And now we got the Brady campaign is suing a bump stock manufacturer. Why? For emotional and psychological harm. I think they should sue USA Today for scaring people unnecessarily with garbage gimmicks. I mean, that's what's really happening here. Or they should sue the left-wing press for this. But they're going to sue for emotional and psychological harm. Perhaps that's why they call it an assault rifle, as I said before. They don't have a definition for an assault rifle. But I guess it scares them, and it causes them emotional and psychological harm. That's why they call it an assault rifle. I guess that's the definition. Any gun or any cranked up nonsense that's put out by the left-wing media, the left-wing press, that, I guess, constitutes an assault. You haven't actually been shot or battered. You know, battery is when they actually hit you, but assault is when they threaten you. So they feel threatened by these things. So sue everybody. Well, start with the media. But Republicans are now agreeing to debate gun control after the background check system fails. What's to debate? Why don't you tell them to enforce the law? You know, Vice President Pence says we're going to move aggressively, have the Air Force move aggressively to review the failures that led to the Texas shooting. Well, that'd be great. You know, when you have, it's like the constitutional conventions. They say, we've got to have a constitutional convention because we need to get some things done. It's like nobody and Washington is paying the slightest bit of attention to the Constitution. So why would we go through that process? Why would we have more gun control if they will not enact this situation? You've got a guy who had sexually assaulted a minor, a guy who had beaten his wife and cracked his stepson's skull. They put him in jail for only a year, and they didn't record it. They didn't record it when he threatened to shoot officers in the Air Force. They didn't record it when he escaped from the mental institution. What is going on here? What they ought to do, and I'd like to see Vice President Pence and the federal government say, we're going to compensate the victims for the incompetence of the Air Force, for the incompetence of the federal government that failed on every level here. How about some jail time and a dishonorable discharge for the Air Force personnel that didn't do their job, that didn't record what happened with this killer, Devin Kelly? You know, should they be able to get benefits for this? Should they be able to just go on and say, well, you know, things happen. Sorry, you know, mistakes happen. That's it. No, there should be somebody who is penalized for this. If you don't have any kind of penalty inside the military bureaucracy, things really aren't going to change. If they don't get serious about this, it's not going to change. And I think there should be some compensation for the people from the federal government not doing its job. Let's talk about that. Let's not talk about more gun control. And, you know, when we look at people like Miley Cyrus, she's out here saying, I'm demanding gun control after the Texas church shooting. She is fed up and she has taken to social media to denounce gun violence. Whatever. You know what, Miley, why don't you clean up your life? Why don't you get some control over your life before you start trying to control other people's lives? You can't even control yourself. Stop trying to control me. And she's out there saying, this was something that was done by a white American man. Well, you know, she is, he probably has the same religion as her. You know, she's a white American female who is just as anti-Christ as this guy was. And she can't control herself. And you know what else we don't have control over? We don't have control over the cops. We've had over 1,000 people killed so far by police in 2017. As Free Thought Project points out, including pregnant moms, innocent kids, disabled people. When are we going to get control of the police? How about that? There's an idea. Let's get control over the police. Let's stop the incentive for the drug war, the prohibition that has created a war in Mexico that has more casualties than we have in Afghanistan now, far more. You have to understand where the violence is coming from. And if we don't have control over the cops, I don't want to give them a monopoly on force. I'm not blaming the cops in that area, but there were some local cops who had also been told about the crimes committed by Devin Kelly, and they didn't do anything about it. And they weren't there. They never got there to the crime. They had nothing to do with helping anybody in that shooting. It was the one individual who had a gun who stopped it, not the police. And cops across this country, because we have made this a Black Lives Matter only situation, and basically it's a bunch of black lies from Marxists. That's what BLM stands for. Trying to divide and conquer, trying to use the race issue to start their revolution. They don't want to solve the problem. They want the problem to get worse, and they want to make it about race rather than getting control of the police. That's what we need control over. And we need to have the Air Force do their job and the rest of the military do their job and the FBI do their job. If they're going to have background checks, they should have had this guy, should have been locked up. He shouldn't have even been out to try to buy a gun with a background check. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back.
In Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Let's take a look at some of the news at the top of the hour. I'm going to get into some deeper issues in the next segment. We have AT&T in the news with the talk about the Department of Justice demanding that CNN, and it's not just CNN, it's a lot of different news organizations, be either divested or the Dish satellite be divested from their portfolio before they'd approve the merger. Now, the Department of Justice is saying that's not happening. AT&T is disputing some of this. So it's not clear whether this is real or not. There's unnamed sources that are talking about this. But, of course, the AT&T executive says, no, we're not doing that. But what he has said is that he will invest an additional $1 billion in the U.S. if the corporate tax rate is lowered. And I think it just underscores the fact that we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. He said they would invest an additional $1 billion if they lower the corporate tax rate to 20%, which is what's being proposed in the tax measures. He said with a rate of 20% combined with provisions for full expensing of capital expenditures for the next 5 years, we're prepared to invest, increase our investment in the U.S. He said it would create about 7,000 good jobs for the middle class as they invest in telecom. And that is something that, of course, we would see here in the United States. Think about, as we talk about this, I mentioned it yesterday, think about the fact that this economic increase that we have seen, and it's not just in the stock market. The stock market is something of a casino. But there's been better expectations and expansion by a lot of businesses, even without the lowering of the corporate tax rate, because they expect that the tax rate is going to be lowered, or they expect that regulations are going to be reduced. And consumers are expecting that it's going to be a better job market for them as well. What is going to happen if that doesn't happen? Well, that's going to be a pin to burst the bubble, because this has been cooked in. Everybody has believed that there's going to be not only tax cuts, but it's going to be for this calendar year, for 2017. So that is going to be a very serious thing for us economically if that doesn't happen. That's why John McCain and others who want to destroy Trump at all costs are quite happy to throw the American public under the bus. Meanwhile, we had an election in Maine, which I think is kind of interesting. There was, it's the first time that they had an election to expand Medicaid benefits. They put it on as a ballot measure. This is something that is typically done by your elected representatives because it has to be paid for. That's why we have a republic with representatives who are elected. And if we just have direct democracy, as many people pointed out, and this is a good example of it, the people will at some point realize that they can vote for largesse from the Treasury and destroy the country. That's what we just saw happen in Maine. But Maine's Republican governor, Paul LePage, has said, well, we're not going to do it until we can find a way to pay for it. So that's nice that you put that on the ballot. But they don't have the ability to just print paper money like the Fed does. That's how the Fed got over $20 trillion in debt. And now the Democrats are saying, we can't cut taxes. We got this thing called the debt. And they've been increasing the deficit. They've had been running deficits of about $1 trillion a year to add to that debt, that accumulative debt. And then back in Raleigh, where I came from, this is a good example of how out of control government is at every level. They just had a situation where they paid $250,000 to a firm to come up with a new logo for the city. Pure vanity. And we see this all the time with vanity artwork that's put in public places. But this is a very simple logo. And they like to talk about the trees that are there. So they came up with a improvised tree. And they paid about $250,000 for that. And I got to say, you know, when you see that kind of thing happening at the local level, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the NFL, there's a move by the federal government to shut down the ability for these billionaires to come in and hoodwink local communities to get them to build their stadiums for them without them having to invest any money. We're going to talk about that and what's going on in the NFL. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Talking about how AT&T and everybody is focused on whether or not the Department of Justice is trying to attack CNN. It's broader than that. as they're looking at media consolidation. That may be a part of it. I don't really care. I think we've had far too much consolidation of the media. If you go back and look at how it is consolidated, and we've reported on this for a very long time here at InfoWars, how they have consolidated to the point that they've only got two or three media companies that control everything. Whether it is movies or television or news, it is consolidated. And so that is something to be concerned about, whether or not that is the condition. And, of course, we've got conflicting stories coming out of AT&T, coming out of the Justice Department. But AT&T did say, and we did not hear this reported much, they said, we'll invest $1 billion in the U.S. It'll create 7,000 middle-class telecommunications jobs that are good jobs if the corporate tax is lowered. And there's been a lot of expectation built into this economy. As soon as President Trump was elected instead of Hillary Clinton, everybody knew that Hillary Clinton was going to continue the kleptocracy that she has thrived under. She had nothing but contempt for tax cuts, just like Obama. They had their hit list of industries and individuals that they were going to take out. She would have taken out InfoWars. They're still working on that quite hard. They are still trying to shut down independent media, especially InfoWars. We keep coming up by name multiple times in her book, as well as in recent congressional hearings. They do not want you to have access to a lot of different voices. They want to control and limit the number of voices that you have, like they did back in the good old days for them, when we just had ABC, CBS, and NBC. And they all covered the same stories. They all said the same thing about those same stories. And everybody believed it because they didn't hear any other person looking at this. Now you have the ability to look at a wide variety of sources. You have the ability to communicate with each other and to bounce ideas off of each other. And they hate that. They really hate that. So they're doing everything that they can to shut that down. But the expectation about the economy as Hillary Clinton was defeated is something that has been cooking for the last year. And if people like John McCain and Bob Corker have their way, they're going to shut down and throttle the U.S. economy so that they can attack President Trump. And Steve Bannon spoke about this last night with Sean Hannity. He's called on Mitch McConnell to resign. He said they have been so ineffective. He needs to resign as soon as this tax discussion is done, because it's got to get done. Here's that video clip.
That the Senate has not taken up, including many bills that would be a very difficult vote for Joe Manchin and Claire McCaskill and John Tester and Heidi Heitkamp and other of these red state Democrats that we need to take down in 2018. And Mitch McConnell's refused to do it. I tell you, Sean, I'm to the point that I think Mitch McConnell, to really bring unity to the Republican Party and get things done, I think Mitch McConnell ought to tender his resignation. What he ought to do is offer to resign as soon as taxes are done. We can't do it in the middle of taxes, but I think Mitch McConnell tomorrow should tender his resignation and say, hey, after we get taxes done, I will step aside and we'll have a revote on majority leader. Because I got to tell you, there needs to be a sense of urgency in the Senate. You know, over the last about week, you know, they're now going to work 6 days a week. They're talking about canceling Thanksgiving. They passed the budget. They're starting to move on federal judges. But that's all because, quite frankly, we put the spotlight on Mitch McConnell and said that this guy is just not supporting the president, and he's not supporting the president. The president needs support. If you're going to drain the swamp.
Okay, we had a little bit of problem as that clip was being rolled. We missed what he had to say. But he was going over the number of different initiatives that had passed in the Republican House, and they did nothing with them in the Senate. And that's why he's saying that Mitch McConnell needs to leave. Now, one of the things that they're talking about, of course, they're talking about perhaps putting in Obamacare. This is something that was brought up by Ted Cruz under the tax package. Yes, it would save $300 billion, according to their congressional scoring. It would help to fund these tax cuts, because Obamacare is a massive tax cut, but it is also something, or a massive tax that is put on the individuals, but it is also something that costs the federal government a great deal of money that they would not have to put out. So now that looks like that may be coming in. Some of the conservative Republicans are saying they're going to put that in. But understand that one of the things that they're talking about is to oppose subsidies of stadiums. At the top of the hour, I was talking about how the city of Raleigh, North Carolina, close to where we used to live, they just paid $250,000 for somebody to come up with a very, very simplistic logo. I don't care how simple or clever the logo is, to pay that kind of money to somebody, that is just corruption. But it's also the kind of vanity that we see with the NFL stadiums. This is exactly the mindset. These people who want to promote themselves and make the city a big deal because they're the mayor of the city or whatever. And what they do is they soak the taxpayers because they're going to have to pay for this largesse. These kind of vanity projects. And the NFL stadiums are exactly that type of project. There's a story from Reuters that the NFL is opposing a U.S. Republican tax plan that would cut funding to stadiums. They say the NFL said yesterday on Tuesday that it opposes a tax bill proposed by U.S. House of Representatives Republicans that could force teams to put up more of their own money to fund stadium construction. So they don't want to put up any more of their money. See, it wouldn't even cut all of the money. What it would just do is cut some of the money that is being given to these billionaires by local politicians who want a vanity project to make their city look like a big, important thing. That's what these NFL stadiums are about. What they're saying, under legislation unveiled last week, local governments could no longer fund the building or the renovation of professional sports stadiums. This is something, folks, that is crony capitalism writ large. How many of you, if you've got a small business, how many of you get hundreds of millions of dollars to start your business by the government that you don't have to pay back? The taxpayers have to pay that back. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I had Stacey Washington come on. She said, yeah, she lived in a town where they funded an NFL team. They built a new stadium for them. They stayed there for a couple of years, and then they left town. And she said the taxpayers are still paying for that empty stadium. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous that we would have to pay for that. Let the people who buy tickets pay for it. Let the business owners, these billionaires who are going to have their multimillionaire players, let them pay for these stadiums instead of putting bonds on us, putting us in bondage. And, of course, the president has called for this to the subsidy to end. He said at least for the NFL, if not for other teams. I think we ought to do it for everybody. Here's what Vin Scully, a longtime sportscaster, had to say about this. He's now 90 years old. Here's what he had to say about the NFL and the protests.
During the fall and winter to watch the NFL on Sunday, and it's not that I'm some great patriot. I was in the Navy for a year, didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything. But I have overwhelming respect and admiration for anyone who puts on a uniform and goes to war. So the only thing I can do in my little way is not to preach. I will never watch another NFL game.
I tell you what, the NFL just doesn't understand how much people despise what they're doing. They have been for a long time. We pointed this out as they promoted the TSA surveillance state. They were the first ones to do that, promoting it everywhere, right down your throat with the Super Bowl and all these other games. And they have been on the statist and left-wing political agenda for quite some time. And I think they have gone too far with this. Now we've got Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. And I guess he's getting serious because he hired the law firm that Harvey Weinstein had hired to spy on his enemies. He's going to do whatever it takes. He was that guy, David Buies, I guess is the way you pronounce his name. That guy was just, his law firm was just fired by the New York Times because of what was revealed about what Weinstein was using that law firm to do. But he has hired them to block Roger Goodell's renewal of his contract. And then we've got the NAACP telling us that the national anthem has to be banned because the lyrics are racist. You won't believe why they say the lyrics to the national anthem are racist. Stay with us. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what their rationale is. I'm David Knight. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're into, we got 9 hours left of our 34-hour broadcast, America Rebirth and Renaissance, a celebration of the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump, and we've now got 9 hours left of that. So this is something we've been doing around the clock. We could not do this operation. We could not do even our ordinary daily broadcast without your support, without the products that you buy. Understand that it is not just the censorship of you on social media, as they've admitted in Congress that they do. It's not just the censorship of InfoWars. It's not just demonetizing people on YouTube. There's full economic censorship. That's why we sell these products directly to you. And it's a way to support the First Amendment as well as your health and the health of your family. And so as a thank you, as part of this celebration of the election of President Trump that occurred because of our free and independent media and because of people like you who listen, who speak to each other, who examine the fake news that is being fed to us by people like Cuomo at CNN, trying to deconstruct or just tell you, don't look at those FBI statistics. They're not important. I'm sure that you know those statistics are 30 years old, so don't pay any attention to them, ignoring the current statistics, ignoring the case for this. So doing these hand-waving things, and then going to the extent of USA Today, trying to scare people about chainsaws being attached to AR-15s and shotguns being attached under the barrel of AR-15s and just idiotic things like that. And, of course, you've now got the Brady Bunch out there saying, yeah, it scares me. I want to sue these people who are making bump stocks because they have caused me mental anguish and grief staying up at night worrying about this. Well, it's like, don't worry, because it makes these weapons far less useful. None of those things were used by the killer in the Texas shooting, but an AR-15 was used by the hero who stopped him, who put him down. So they have this this fake narrative, and the way that you can get around it is with independent media. Of course, that's why they want to shut us down. Here's some of the things that we have put on sale for you. We got 50% off Super Male, Super Female Vitality, and free shipping. We have 50% off all apparel. We have 50% off Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula. And we have 50% off of Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. All of those have free shipping as well. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix is a great way to get your baseline vitamins and minerals without taking a lot of pills. It's something that I use on a regular basis as well. So you can see all these specials. There's many more at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. As we went to break, I said that I was going to get back as to why the NAACP thinks that the national anthem is racist. And it goes to the third stanza. You know, the one that we always sing. How many times have you seen at a sporting event everybody standing around and trying to sing the third stanza of the national anthem? I mean, the professional singer has already blown her voice out or his voice out on the first stanza. So they don't hang around for three stanzas. But it's very, this is the thinking of the BLM people, the black lying Marxists who take these police violence episodes and don't use them to try to bring people together to solve the problem and get control of the way the police are interacting with people. Instead, they use it to promote division and racism. That's why they do it that way. And they always ignore the clear-cut cases of police abuse, and they go for the ones that are really gray, where you really can't tell what was going on. What, was this justified or not? They go for that. They try to divide people by different ethnic groups, and now they're coming after the national anthem. The person at the California NAACP says it's racist, it doesn't represent our community, it's anti-black. Why? Here's the third stanza. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out, their foul footsteps pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave. Now, that's some pretty stilted language for the 20th century. We don't talk like that anymore. It's probably one of the reasons why we don't even sing the third stanza of the national anthem. But when they saw that, when they saw slave, it's like, you talking about me? No, we're not talking about you. Look at the context. They're talking about a military victory. And they're talking about how these people who were hirelings and slaves, they're talking about mercenaries. Hirelings are mercenaries. They're talking about people like the Hessians, and they're talking about people when they say slaves. They're talking about people who were slaves of the British who attacked us, people who were pressed into service or drafted, if you will. Okay, whenever they see slave, evidently the NAACP thinks that's equivalent to the N-word. Stop your slave mentality. Move on. You're not a slave anymore. Start acting like an independent adult instead of wallowing in the mire of your past and using this to divide people. That's what they have to do. And that's the absurdity of all this stuff. But I think the good news is, as I was saying before, we got a bill that's being put forward by U.S. Republicans that would stop this crony capitalism of these billionaires who are putting us in slavery, putting us in bondage with the bonds that they use to build their NFL stadiums. Good example of it. And I talked about this 5 years ago, right after I started at InfoWars. Minnesota was $1 billion in debt. They're wringing their hands. It's like, we can't print more money. That's only the federal government can do that. How are we going to pay off this debt? And then the Vikings come in and say, you know, we'd like to have a new stadium, or we're going to leave. Oh, well, let's add another $500 million to the $1 billion of debt that we can't pay for so we can build a stadium for the billionaire Minnesota Vikings. And they do it. That's the absurdity of this stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about the cult of Hillary. We had an article that came out yesterday. It was on Drudge. Scientists are implanting a tiny human brains into rats. And I tweeted out, and I said, well, that's basically putting human brains into a rat is nothing new. Hillary Clinton is 70 years old. This is kind of like Pinky and the Brain. And seriously, you know, why are they doing that kind of research? I mean, what is the benefit of that? When you look at things like CRISPR, I was just talking to Dr. Group yesterday when he was here as part of our 34-hour broadcast, and he was saying how concerned he is about the GMO issues. I mean, it's issues that go back to Jurassic Park, far before that movie was done in the mid-90s. Michael Crichton had written the book, of course, and that was the central issue. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do it. What is the point of putting in, human brains into a rat? It's redundant when we've got people like Hillary Clinton. But it is very concerning because of the kind of technological race that these people get into. And it's a military race. We've had Putin talk about that. And interestingly enough, we look at all this stuff about Hillary Clinton. Actually had an editorial on The Hill by Brent Badowski saying that Mueller could actually indict Vladimir Putin as part of his investigation. And here's Vladimir Putin's reaction to that. Yeah, come and get me, essentially. You know, you can't even indict the president. Let's understand what's going on, okay? If this unconstitutional investigation an illegal, because as I pointed out before, that was a law that was created for special prosecutors in 1978. It expired in 1999. So there is no controlling legal authority here, as Al Gore would say. This is an inquisition. There's nobody controlling this. But if you go back and look at this, you don't file criminal charges against a president. You don't indict them. He could come up with something and try to get an impeachment. But going back to 1973, going back even to 1818, they said, no, you cannot bring criminal charges against a president. That's the reason that they have impeachment in the Constitution. So it is absolutely ridiculous, and there is no limit to this. Stay with us. We're going to be talking to Ty Clevenger. We'll be right back.
Waging information warfare against pushers of fake news. Listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be talking to Ty Clevenger. We've talked to him in the past. I wanted to catch up with him and see what is happening in his efforts to try to get justice in this government. And, of course, many of us have seen Hillary Clinton get away with all kinds of crimes, Comey as well, and now we see involvement of Mueller, Robert Mueller, in this prosecution. Ty Clevenger was trying to get information. He was initially shut down for his FOIA request. He had some movement just as we were talking to him. He had the Department of Justice come back and say, no, we're going to give you some information out of the FOIA request. So we want to get an update on that. At the time we last talked to him, he was also trying to get Hillary Clinton disbarred. He had filed a bar complaint against her. He has now subsequently filed one against James Comey. So I want to get caught up with Ty Clevenger and find out what is happening in his effort to try to get some justice, because you should not be able to continue as a lawyer if you are involved in criminal actions. Remember, it was Bill Clinton getting impeached for lying under oath, committing perjury about something that was not a crime. It was something he was embarrassed about. his consensual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. But because he lied under oath, because he committed perjury, he was not only impeached, but he was disbarred. Why are we not seeing Hillary Clinton disbarred for these lies? Or James Comey? Or Robert Mueller, who continues to move on, even though he should have recused himself for the even the appearance of a conflict of interest? So we're going to talk to Ty about this. Ty has a blog called lawflog.com. That's his blog. He's a Texas attorney who lives in Manhattan. He is a former attorney in the special litigation section of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. So joining us now is Ty Clevenger. Thank you for joining us, Ty.
Good morning, David. Thank you for having me.
Catch us up a little bit on what has happened, because as I said before, you had been shut down initially by the Department of Justice. They said, nah, there's no public interest. And when they said no public interest, I mean, they were literally telling you nobody wants to know. And that clearly is not the case, is it?
Yeah, that one still blows my mind. Even some of the mainstream media outlets have been forced to acknowledge that clearly there is some public interest in Hillary Clinton's email scandal. I've been doing this kind of thing long enough that I don't ever expect the government to respond to a FOIA request in a timely way, and they certainly have not in this case. They told me that they were going to release the documents on Hillary Clinton's emails. Now we find out it's going to be delayed and they're going to do it gradually. So I fully expect, in fact, I already intend to file a FOIA lawsuit to compel that. I was also told separately by the U.S. Attorney's Office, or the representative for the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., that they were going to release some documents about, and you may recall that there was an agreement between the FBI and the lawyers representing Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, who in turn represented Hillary Clinton, that the FBI would destroy some laptops once they got through looking over those laptops. And I've requested those documents for months. I was supposed to get them early November. Now they're not responding to my phone calls or my emails. So I'll probably have to sue them over that as well.
So at this point, you're still waiting to get information from them, even though the last time we spoke, the Department of Justice had just said, no, we are going to recognize that there is a public interest and we're going to recognize your FOIA request. They've still not turned over any information.
Nothing yet. I have not figured out, at least to my own satisfaction, what's going on between Maine Justice and the FBI, because clearly there is some, I won't say tension, but at least disagreement, because it was the FBI that turned me down twice on those records, and it was Maine Justice that came back and said to the FBI, no, you will turn it over. Hmm. And so I don't know to what extent yet Jeff Sessions or his people have gotten control over the department, because there still seem to be a lot of loose ends. I don't know who's in charge yet, but ultimately I suspect we're going to have to file suit to find out.
Yeah, and you had said before that at first you thought it was Obama holdovers that were blocking your requests, and then you started to get suspicious that maybe the FBI was trying to cover up some of its own criminal actions. What do you think about that now?
Well, and I think that's where everything is headed at this point. That's where all arrows seem to be pointing, because clearly the FBI has not been forthcoming. I'm sure you're aware Judicial Watch has had cases pending against the FBI. And just recently they said, oops, we found 30 documents that we had not previously acknowledged. And that's actually something that happens all the time in FOIA lawsuits, as Judicial Watch can tell you. The FBI says, oh, we don't have anything. And then they come back and say, oops, well, maybe we do. They've done that to me. Well, even on the Seth Rich case, I filed an open records request and they came back and said, we don't have anything in our central record system. And I responded and said, well, I didn't limit my request to your central record system. Most of these records will be in the Washington field office. And so I'm waiting to hear back on that. But there's always some kind of little game they play in trying to dodge the request.
And of course, when we look at this, they will not give any information to you, but they would not. They were turned away by the private contractor for the DNC when they said, we want to see the information there. They said, no, we're not going to give it to you. I mean, that is the most amazing thing to me, that they could get away with that type of activity. That shows you right there, I think, that there is criminal collusion that's going on. And then we'll get to the Uranium One thing. But just talk about that for a moment. CrowdStrike could say, no, we're not going to show you anything. We're going to allege that it's a hack. We're going to tell you that we looked at it. And but we're not going to show this to you so that you can actually do your own investigation.
Well, contrast that with the opposite end of the spectrum and look at the raid that Bob Mueller's people did on Paul Manafort's house in the wee hours of the morning, no knock on wood. Typically, when a federal agency wants records, they don't beg.
That's right. That's right.
They go to a federal grand jury and they get a subpoena and they take the records. And yeah. This actually dovetails with the issue that I mentioned earlier, trying to get the agreement where Cheryl Mills' attorney agreed to turn over laptops to the FBI. They had to negotiate so that none of this would be used against Cheryl Mills or Heather Samuelson. On what other occasion does the FBI do that?
Right.
Where they say to a suspect or a potential defendant, please give us this evidence. And if you do give us this evidence, we promise we're not going to use it against you. That doesn't happen. So clearly there is some level of collusion between the FBI and some of these suspects. And I should say, as a disclaimer, I've got a lot of friends who are either current or former FBI agents, people of absolute integrity, and they're probably more upset about this stuff than anybody else right now. It's the leadership in D.C. that's the source of the problem. And they're playing politics, and I don't know how else to put it.
Well, you know, we look at the situation, as you just pointed out, you know, they do a early morning raid that is really clearly over the top to get at Manafort's records. They roust his wife out of bed and frisk her and so forth. And that's typically what they would do if they were really trying to get something from somebody. But when the private contractor says, go away, we're not going to give this to you, they immediately go away. But let's talk about what has now been learned about the FBI, the fact that they were investigating the company that was involved in the Uranium One sale, and there were criminal actions that should have stopped that sale, and that they were doing that investigation for 15 months before the sale occurred, and then they put a gag order on the witness and doubled down on that as they were running up to the election and said, if you dare talk to anybody about this, you're going to at the very least go to jail. Talk about that and what that tells us about Robert Mueller.
That looks and smells a whole lot like obstruction of justice.
Yes.
When you are telling a witness that you can't talk to Congress, not because it would interfere with our criminal case or criminal investigation, but because we just don't want you telling them what we don't want you telling them.
That's right.
That reeks. And
yeah, because the criminal investigation is well over. This is something that had happened in the past several years earlier, you know, 6-7 years earlier.
Yeah, the criminal case was over, and DOJ was still telling this witness, you can't talk. And again, sorry to go on a sidebar here, but that illustrates that Jeff Sessions still doesn't have control of the Justice Department, because it takes Charles Grassley or somebody else in Congress to get these
documents. Hang on, Ty, we're going to pick this up. We've got to go to a break. We've got a hard break here. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Ty Clevenger, an individual who's actually trying to do what he can to get information and to get some of these people, these powerful people, at least disbarred. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Ty Clevenger. He's a one-man legal beagle who is trying to get justice done. He's trying to get information about what happened with Hillary Clinton and the emails and what is going on with Comey and others. He's been blocked, and then they removed that block to get information, but he still hasn't received any information. But he is also taking action to try to get, with a bar grievance, to try to get Hillary Clinton, who is obviously lied to us, James Comey, who's lied under oath, to try to get these individuals disbarred. I want to ask him about Robert Mueller. As we pointed out, we were just talking about the Uranium One revelation and the way they suppressed the testimony of a witness in a case that had long since been closed. It was not an open case. It would not have compromised that investigation whatsoever. What it would have done is it would have compromised Hillary Clinton's campaign, and they kept a gag on him. So it brings up questions of collusion with FBI directors, former directors Comey and Mueller, who is running the investigation. It also brings up questions of obstruction. Before we get back to Ty Clevenger, I just want to remind you of some of the products that we have on sale as part of our 34-hour broadcast. These are all 50% off plus free shipping. Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, All apparel at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, as well as Biome Defense, our probiotics product, and Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash. All of those, 50% off plus free shipping. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. That's what keeps us independent and what allows us to operate in this very oppressive environment of both censorship and economic censorship. So we really do appreciate your support. That's what helped to make these programs possible. And to a large degree, it helped to get President Trump elected. That's what we're celebrating here with this 34-hour broadcast. Let's go back to our guest, Ty Clevenger. And I want you to hear this. I've got a little 20-second video here, Ty, of Dianne Feinstein talking about collusion. Here's that video.
Have you seen any evidence that Jake this Tapper, dirt, these Jake. Emails, were ever given to the Trump campaign?
Not so far.
Not so far. Have you ever seen, any communications that suggested that the Trump campaign wanted them to release them through a different means? Because obviously they were ultimately released by WikiLeaks.
No, I have not.
Okay.
Okay. No evidence of collusion. But we do have evidence of collusion, Ty, of Robert Mueller, of James Comey, working with them as well as obstructing justice. Your comments.
I have filed a bar grievance on James Comey, and not directly on that point, but also primarily because there's evidence that he lied to Congress. Yeah. Specifically about Hillary Clinton email investigation, he was asked under oath whether he made the decision to recommend against charges before or after Mrs. Clinton had been interviewed. It's now clear from his own documents that he had made that decision long before. So that I filed with the New York bar. And if I may mention something, it's a little bit of inside baseball, but it's something to watch. And that's with Hillary Clinton's lawyers. I mentioned Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, also David Kendall. I filed grievances in Maryland. Those were rejected. A trial judge ordered the Maryland bar to investigate. And then the Maryland Attorney General appealed that to the state's top court. There have been a lot of machinations behind the scenes trying to shut this thing down. There's been some reporting about how the Maryland bar actually tried to change the rules after the fact so that it could dismiss the grievances that I had already filed. And they went about it in a very interesting way. They did something pretty dumb. They admitted in writing that they were wanting to be able to dismiss complaints against people who appeared to have a political motive or something such as that. Well, the problem is that is a clear First Amendment violation. The Supreme Court's been very, very clear on that point. And because they put that in writing and transmitted it to the high court to be adopted as a rule, and then the high court adopted that rule, I've argued that there is a conflict of interest because all this was done behind my back, and now the high court in Maryland has expressed animosity towards people who expressed their First Amendment rights. And I didn't know that it would go anywhere, but to my surprise, the same day I filed that motion to recuse, the court ordered the Attorney General to respond. And to my knowledge, there's never been a case where an entire state Supreme Court had to recuse. All of its members had to recuse because of a conflict of interest. So this could be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah.
Perhaps an indication of just how far the Maryland bar prosecutor was willing to go to try to sweep all of this under the rug.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, you're talking about how they're willing to change the rules after the fact and, of course, saying, well, we're going to ignore this if it appears to be politically involved. Well, they ignored Hillary Clinton's massive security violations because
of
her political involvement. I mean, that's the essence of this. But, you know, you also said
we're living in an era of radical subjectivism. And
yes.
As a lawyer, it's a hard thing to deal with because you can't advise your clients. Here's what the law says, and here's what the outcome should be. Because at the end of the day, you know, the judges are going to do whatever they want to do, generally based on their own political motives. And we're seeing that on immigration. We're seeing that with Hillary Clinton. And mm-hmm. lest you think that doesn't affect you, anybody in court is affected by this because there is this spreading cancer where the judiciary just feels free to act on its personal whims, and the rule of law is pretty much going down the drain.
And you're talking about radical subjectivism and where it plays out in immigration. It's when a judge would come out and say, well, I think in spite of what this actually says, what this order actually says, I'm not going to pay any attention to the text of the order. I'm just going to say that I think this is coming from a bias on the part of President right. Trump. That's my feelings. And so like, I'm going to say that vote. Because of his feelings, I have different feelings, and we're going to rule in this way. They absolutely pay no attention to the law.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're headed towards anarchy. No society can function without some kind of basic rules of operation. And we're, you know, and I tell this to my clients just in private practice. You know, the most important decision is not made by a judge. It's made by the clerk that assigns the case, because the outcome of your case is not decided by the law or the facts. It's decided by the whims of the judge that's assigned to your case.
That's amazing. Let's talk about the lawless society in terms of the special prosecution, because there was a special prosecutor law that was created in 1978. It expired. They let it expire in 1999. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, okay, we'll call it constitutional. It was 8-1. Antonin Scalia said, this is going to lead to witch hunts. It's going to be the kind of thing that Stalin did. You know, bring me the man, I'll find the crime. It's not going to be about a particular crime. But under that expired law, and they let it expire because they agreed with Scalia that it would become a witch hunt, which is what we've now seen with this. But under that law that is now expired, so there is no special prosecutor law, but under that law they had certain checks there. They had the attorney general would say, well, tell me what the crime is. Okay, well, this looks like there may be something here. So we'll have a three-judge panel appoint a special prosecutor. He would have to file reports with them, and they would have reviews, and this would be a regular basis. If he wanted to expand or go in a different direction, he would then have to go before the attorney general again. None of that is happening now. None of that. I mean, where are we? We're absolutely lawless, right?
I filed a FOIA request to find out what the scope of the investigation is that Robert Mueller is conducting. Judicial Watch did the same thing, and they have denied both our requests. So at this point, the only person who knows what Robert Mueller is doing besides Robert Mueller and his staff would be ostensibly the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who is an underappreciated figure in all of this. He is the one who appointed Mueller. Of course, Jeff Sessions stepped aside. I don't trust Rod Rosenstein. I've had dealings with him. He is very much a creature of the establishment, and his inclination is to protect the people in power, and I've seen him do that before.
And he was also involved in the Uranium One stuff. He had involvement there. Exactly. He was in power along with Robert Mueller. And if they wanted to avoid any appearance of conflict of interest, as Jeff Sessions is saying, they would recuse themselves immediately out of all of this stuff. But they don't.
Absolutely. You know, it's refreshing that at least some members of Congress are calling for the resignation of Mueller. They need to be calling for the resignation or at least the recusal of Rod Rosenstein. That's where the real problem lies. In fact, they need to go a step beyond that. They need to adopt resolutions like on the House floor and on the Senate floor calling for the resignation or at least the recusal of Rosenstein and Mueller. It shouldn't be just one or two members of Congress here and there.
Yeah, this is a very, very dangerous thing. And as you pointed out, this is a justice system that is rotten to the core, because we not only have, as you pointed out, radical subjectivism, because where the judges just rule as to what they wish, regardless of what the law is. But now we basically have these guys operating with absolutely no law for a special prosecutor, absolutely no oversight. And we've got people who have a direct involvement with these politicians that they're supposed to be overseeing, have a legal jeopardy themselves. This is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Ty Clevenger. And of course, you can find Ty, his blog is LawFlog, F-L-O-G, LawFlog.com. Follow him and educate yourself as to what's going on, and put some pressure on your congressman to do the right thing. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm David Knight.
Studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We're going to be joined by Gerald Celente in the next hour. We're going to talk about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of political intrigue there. There's purges going on. There's a civil war that is going on. There are real wars that are happening with Yemen. They have stepped up the blockade of Yemen. It is causing massive starvation. We've seen this before, haven't we? Madeleine Albright was asked, your blockade, your sanctions, starved 500,000 children to death in addition to adults. Was it worth it? And she didn't dispute the number. She just said, yeah, it was worth it. So I hope it is worth it to the Saudis and the people in our government who support them to starve a bunch of people in Yemen. But it looks like there may be a wider war. Regardless of whether that happens, we are still going to see, and we've already seen, a spike in the price of oil. And Gerald Celente is going to be joining us looking at the trends going forward. We're going to see a spike in the price of gold and cryptocurrencies, I think, as well, because we're going to look at a lot of instability in that region as these gang wars, if you will, between the royal family, as these things take place. It is not just going to be something that we observe from a distance. It is going to have a big effect on our currency. It is going to have a big effect on war and peace. We were just talking to Ty Clevenger, and of course, he is trying to find some information, get some justice done. He is trying to get James Comey, who lied under oath to Congress, to at least get him disbarred. That's the very least that we could do. Same with Hillary Clinton, trying to get FOIA requests fulfilled. At first, he was told absurdly by the FBI, there is no interest, there is no public interest. And by that, they didn't mean that it didn't serve the interest of good government. No, they said nobody in the public cares about that. That's what the absurd position that they were taking. And now we see the massive conflicts of interest. And what I'm concerned about is that the people who are running this special prosecution without any legal authority, without any oversight, are the people who were involved in these Uranium One scandals. And I'm concerned that they're destroying evidence. I think that is really clearly the case. Donna Brazile has come out and she's promoting her book. And understand that she's not being exactly honest with us, because the book itself is called Hacked. That did not happen. We just had the CIA director meet with William Binney, and William Binney has been on our program talking about how this could not have been hacked. This is a guy who knows. He did this for the NSA for decades, and he is an honest guy. He went to the mat to cause the destruction of his career. He had to resign, had to retire. Other NSA whistleblowers had to leave. Some of them, like Thomas Drake, they tried to put them in jail over this, but they were people who believed in the rule of law, in the Constitution, and they wanted to tell the American public what was going on. So these people who are not only technically competent, but they are honest. They're people of integrity who support the Constitution. And what he has been saying, said it with us, he said it with many other people, is that it's not possible for this to have been hacked. If you look at the files that were turned over a month later, this is the second group of files that were released. And he said it's not possible that it was hacked. If you look at the size of these files, if you look at the amount of time that it took for them to transfer, that could not have possibly happened. And they were released. This was the second batch that came out after the first batch, right about the time of the Democrat convention, and they came out a month or so later. He has now met with the CIA director, Mike Pompeo. He did that last month, reports The Intercept. I think this is very significant. Maybe it shows that there is some openness on the part of the CIA to push back against this false narrative, this false conspiracy theory that these files were hacked. And, of course, this is a very large conspiracy, with Twitter shutting down half of the hashtags DNC leaked to try to cover this up. One former CIA official said, this is crazy. You got all these intelligence agencies saying the Russians did the hack. To deny that is like coming out with the theory the Japanese didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. Well, no, it wasn't 17 agencies. That was one of the intelligence directors, Jane Clapper, repeating what Hillary Clinton had said. It was only three, and they were representative.
My fellow freedom.
Found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I was talking at the top of the hour, ran out of time before I could make my point, so let me just finish up with this. The fact that we had former NSA global technical head, William Binney, who went to the mat to support the Constitution, became a whistleblower along with others, paid the price, and he has been saying there's absolutely no way that these files were hacked. And you got Donna Brazile out there selling her book. We've had some interesting revelations. But think about the irony of the fact that they're telling everybody, you're a lunatic conspiracy theorist if you say that these files were hacked. And yet, in just last week, we had two internal whistleblower leaks from the DNC. One of them to support Donna Brazile. She had said that Hillary Clinton had bought out the DNC, and somebody inside the DNC, as Hillary Clinton was pushing back against that narrative, actually released the memo. And prior to that, just a couple of days prior to that, we had somebody inside the DNC release a memo from the IT staff supervisor saying, we need to hire some more people and we need to be competitive from dog catcher to president. But I don't send me any of these white, male, straight, cisgender types. I don't want that. I want crooked female transgenders, or preferably, or whatever. You know, this is the diversity, the identity politics that is destroying that party. And it is pervasive in that party, even down to the people that run IT. Of course, they want to have crooked people like Imran Awan. Those are the type of people. And they don't care if anybody is competent. I mean, these guys are part of the Awan brothers rigging that Debbie Wasserman Schultz hired. These are people, one of them was working at McDonald's before he got a job there. And then he comes in and he starts making high three-figure or six-figure salaries. Should be making a three-figure salary. He didn't know anything. But this is what they're doing. So people inside the DNC were upset about that. They were upset about the pushback against Donna Brazile. Do you think they were upset about what had happened with Bernie Sanders? Of course they were. And we have technical people like William Binney and others who have told us it is not possible. And the interesting thing is that The Intercept reports that just last month, the end of the month, end of October, that CIA Director Mike Pompeo met with William Binney. And William Binney was trying to lay out this evidence for him. You think that he would get a meeting with somebody who is like James Clapper or Michael Hayden? Those guys have been so thoroughly politicized, they wouldn't care what the evidence showed. They said it is highly unorthodox for the CIA director to reach out to someone like Binney. But it is particularly stunning that Pompeo would meet with Binney at Trump's apparent urging in what could be seen as an effort to discredit the U.S. intelligence community's own assessment that an alleged Russian hack of the DNC servers was part of the effort to help Trump win the presidency. Let me tell you, this was not 17 agencies. It eventually came out that James Clapper had representatives from the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI meet with him. And these, of course, are not going to be people who are going to push back against the Director of National Intelligence. And so he says, CrowdStrike, well, maybe he didn't put it this way, but the reality is that a private contractor that worked for the DNC, CrowdStrike, told the FBI they refused to turn over their servers so they couldn't investigate it themselves. And so he calls in three representatives from them and tells them, hey, there was a hack. We still hear this from Donna Brazile. It was a hack. That's the name of her book. And so they said, okay, it was a hack. Yes, sir. We got the information. We got it right there. And then he comes out and says all 17 agencies and repeating a line of Hillary Clinton. Look, these people are politicized. They're going to spin this and say that Pompeo is politicized. Let me tell you who's not politicized. William Binney. You can trust that man. He's an honest American who supports the Constitution, and he is nobody's fool, and he's not going to lie for these politicians. And now he's gotten in and gotten the ear of President Trump and Director Mike Pompeo. They have to shut this thing down. We got Hillary Clinton out now. This is being reported that Ed Klein, the guy who wrote the book Clinton's Guiltiest Sin last year, his latest book is All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. That was released on October the 30th. This is a guy who's a former editor-in-chief for the New York Times Magazine. And he's saying that Hillary Clinton is now in secret negotiations with Christopher Steele, the guy who created the Filthy Fiction. So this is Filthy Fiction Part 2 because she wants a new version of the fiction that they've admitted is a bunch of nonsense. She wants some new salacious charges against President Trump, and she's now funding this. This is absolutely amazing. Think about the fact that just in the last couple of days, we've had revelations about Harvey Weinstein. Now, this is a guy who, as he realizes that his sexual abuse is going to be exposed, he gets the former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak to give him a reference to some people. And they're now trying to cover up for this. And the Israeli press, they say, well, former Israeli prime minister unwittingly gave Weinstein information that helped him to reach out to an Israeli firm that does investigations called Black Cube. And what they did was they set up some interviews with some of the people that he believed were going to expose him. And they started talking to these people saying, you know, we are advocates for violence against women and so forth, trying to get information out of Rose McGowan and other people that this man had harmed. And they started building a profile so they could attack these people. This is the way they work. This is the way Hillary Clinton works. All these people. And that's what she's doing now. She's doing a second version of the filthy file. Just like Harvey Weinstein went out and hired this Israeli intelligence group, as they self-advertise themselves as highly experienced and trained in Israel's elite military and governmental intelligence units. He hires them to scope out the people that he had abused. And this was exposed by Ronan Farrow, who is the New Yorker, Mia Farrow's son. He said, in the fall of 2016, Weinstein set out to suppress allegations that he had sexually harassed or assaulted numerous women. So he hired this Israeli security firm, the spy firm. He said a couple of investigators used false identities. They met with actress Rose McGowan, who eventually publicly accused Weinstein of rape, to try to get information from her. What does she know? How much of a threat is she? Right? So they come in and they give false information. They say over the course of the year, he had these agencies target or collect information on dozens of individuals, and they would complete psychological profiles on them that would focus on their personal and sexual histories. See, this is exactly all these people, Weinstein, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, all these people, they work exactly the same way. I mean, not only are they satanic pedophile perverts, but they will use every dirty means to try to get to somebody. And that's what we're going to see now. We're going to see that coming from Hillary Clinton. We got Dirty Dossier Part 2 coming out. And we're also going to see next week probably some indictments for rape against Harvey Weinstein. And then there's Alec Baldwin, as the Telegraph points out, the bully who symbolizes the hypocrisy of liberal Hollywood. And who would think that this guy wasn't a bully? I mean, just look at what he does on Twitter. Look at what he does to photographers, okay? And look at what he has said about other people. Standing with Weinstein, standing with the director, James Toback, who has been one of the individuals that has been exposed multiple times. And now we've got five more women coming out about director Roman Polanski. Remember, reported back in, it was either 2009 or 2010, there was the op-ed piece by Harvey Weinstein talking about this predator, this pedophile, Roman Polanski, this rapist. And he's been convicted. There's not any question about that. There's no allegations of this. And he said, we should let him back into the country. His so-called crime, he's already done time for his so-called crime. Harvey Weinstein said that Roman Polanski was true to his art, and that ought to give him a pass. Ought to give him a pass. And so we got John Nolte of Breitbart saying, you know what? It's no coincidence that pro-rape Hollywood and media are anti-gun. And he said, think about this, just as a thought experiment. You know, let's go back to the mid-90s. Let's imagine that all these Hollywood actresses would go out and purchase firearms, get NRA training, and learn how to use them. He said, these people operate off of the position of power. That's what they're really after. They don't care about the sex so much as it is the power. Can you imagine if they started to try to pull these games and you had Hollywood actresses who had actually gotten concealed carry, had it in their purse, knew how to use it. They reach in their purse and say, back off, Harvey. Back off, Alec. Yeah, that's what needs to happen. But that's what doesn't happen because they tell them, oh, you don't need a gun. Those guns, they'll kill you. Talking to Gerald Celente right now. Very anxious to talk to Gerald and get his take on what is going to happen to us economically, politically, with war and peace, with what is boiling in Saudi Arabia. Before we get to Gerald Celente, real quickly, I want to remind you of the sales that we have up as part of our 34-hour broadcast, American Rebirth and Renaissance. This is to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump and the, let's not forget this, we're celebrating the defeat of Hillary Clinton and the defeat of Jeb Bush and that part of the establishment, because there is no difference between those establishment Republicans and the Clintons. And you can see that in their book. You've got George H.W. Bush bragging about the fact that he voted for Hillary Clinton and so on. So this is a defeat of both the Bushes and the Clintons and the Washington establishment that we're celebrating here with this 34-hour broadcast. We put a lot of our most popular items on a 50% discount with free shipping. Let me give you the names of some of these products. Super Male and Super Female Vitality, both of those, 50% off with free shipping. We have Biome Defense, our probiotic product. That is 50% off with free shipping. All apparel at InfoWarsStore.com is 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, a great way to take a baseline of your essential vitamins and minerals without having to swallow a lot of pills. That is 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, 50% off with free shipping, and many others you can find at InfoWarsStore.com, part of our 34-hour broadcast special. So thank you for your support, and let's go to Gerald Celente. And, of course, Gerald Celente, a frequent guest on InfoWars over the years, and you can find his writing at Trends Research. I'm looking at the TrendsResearch.com is where you can subscribe to Trends Journal, and I'm looking at the lead article here, which is why we wanted to get Gerald Celente on. And here's the title. We'll let Gerald Celente fill this out for you. Saudi war drums, gold, oil, cryptocurrency prices to spike. And we've already seen oil prices jump up after this purge and after the, I guess, the initial shots that were going to be fired in this Middle Eastern war, the missile that was fired towards Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Now they're pushing to go to war against both Iran and Lebanon. So joining us now is Gerald Celente. It's dangerous times, isn't it, Gerald?
It certainly is. I mean, you heard Saudi Arabia say that Iran and Lebanon have declared war against Saudi Arabia. And, of course, no such thing was ever said. So the war drums are beating loudly there.
Yeah, that what we've had with that missile that was fired, at first they said, and both sources admitted that they said that it was fired from Yemen, and the Yemeni defense minister said yes. They both agreed that it was a Yemeni missile, but now they're saying it was an Iranian missile, and they're saying that the Lebanese Hezbollah militia went to Yemen to fire that missile. So therefore, that is a Gulf of Tonkin event as far as the Saudis are concerned, and cause for a greater Middle Eastern war.
Yes, and let's go back to what you said. You have the facts down correctly, and everyone said at the beginning it was a Yemeni-made missile fired from Yemen into Saudi Arabia, but nobody's saying the other part of the story. Saudi Arabia, from the United States, in March of 2015, from Washington, D.C., the Saudi ambassador under Obama, yeah, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, they announced that they were going to war against Yemen.
Yes.
So throw the Houthi government announced from Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
Oh, they don't like the Houthis. They want to put their guy back in, who was never elected, and the United States and the Saudis support him. So the Saudis have killed over 10,000 Yemenis. There's a cholera epidemic. There's a humanitarian crisis. It's the poorest country in the Middle East. Oh, just 2 days ago, they just killed about 35 civilians. They hit a house where, you know, extended families lived in. This doesn't make any of the news. And the other thing, you know, the crown prince. You know, stop with this crown prince stuff. I got it. A princess kissed a frog, and the frog became a prince. You know, how about a gang? A 30-year-old guy that starts this war over there. And now they're changing the whole story about that as well, that the purge, it wasn't a purge because the reports are that the father is very ill and this guy's cleaning house so he could step in. Now here's the headline. Saudi targets up to $800 billion in assets.
Yes, exactly.
Corruption.
That's what it is. I mean, at first it was like, you know, the Tattaglias versus the Corleones, right? Going for the takeover. But then they're going after, and you point out, $800 billion. At first it was $33 billion for this one guy. Then it's like 1,200 bank accounts had been frozen, and now the figure is up to $800 billion.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with that. Again, it's a palace purge. And going back, it's okay. It's okay for the Saudis, who also gave us, with the Arab Little League, the Libyan War, along with Obama, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, a little slimeball Sarkozy, and no cojones Cameron, who started that war over there. But again, pushed by Saudi Arabia, the Arab League, the destabilization of Syria, brought to you by Syria, but brought to you by Saudi Arabia and the Arab League. It's okay for them to arm and invade, but don't let those Iranians give anybody any weapons. That's bad.
Yeah. And of course, the CIA's involvement in this, as we talked about. The CIA's involvement in arming and equipping and training and funding these people who are trying to do a regime change in Saudi Arabia. I think it's very significant. When we saw it was in June or July, President Trump said, we're stopping the CIA arms program to the moderate rebels of John McCain. And it didn't take very long for ISIS to physically collapse out of these locations that they had taken over in Syria. Of course, they still have the CIA surrogates that are on the loose, prowling around places. But this is, I think, now we're starting to see this ramp up again, and we're going to have to take a break real quickly. We've got about a minute and a half. Give people a preview of what this is going to mean for us in terms of money and markets and even the U.S. dollar, because we have been so tied to the Saudis with the CIA for so long. As you mentioned, they come here to make their announcement of who they're going to invade. They announced that from Washington. So we have been joined at the hip with them since we created the petrodollar back in the 1970s. What was it, 1973, with Kissinger and Richard Nixon creating the petrodollar?
That's right. And so what we're looking at, if oil prices continue to go up, look at retail sales. Look what the market's today. It's going down on retail sales. People can't, 78% of the people living paycheck to paycheck. Oil prices go up. This economy starts to go down. Merry Christmas. They're already promoting Black Friday now, because sales are so bad. Number two, Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel to break even. And it ain't happening. So if this, and now they're selling bonds. Saudi Arabia's debt, you look at the charts, and you look at their income levels, they're like this, they're way down. So we
okay, hold that thought right there. When we come back, we're going to talk about their debt, and maybe that's been suggested. That was a motivation for taking over $800 billion from other people, trying to cover that deficit. We're talking to Gerald Celente. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Gerald Celente, publisher of Trends Journal, and you can get information about that at trendsresearch.com. We're talking about what's going on with Saudi Arabia. There's been a lot of major changes here in the last couple of weeks, and of course, local news, national news, has kept that off of most people's radar. But Gerald Celente is looking at this. He understands that we've already seen a big spike in the price of oil. And I want to talk to him also about what's going to happen with gold and with cryptocurrencies, with Bitcoin and others. But as we were going to break, Gerald Celente was talking about how they had confiscated with these people that they have arrested as part of their purge. I mean, they're trying to consolidate power here, one rival gang against another rival gang within the royal family. And understand, this is a new creation. We're only... The guy who's the king right now is the son of the first ruler. So we're only on the second generation. Now the third generation, this crown prince, is trying to consolidate his power as these older guys are dying out. And they've taken $800 billion. The Wall Street Journal is talking about this. I've got an article here from Zero Hedge. I said, you know, on Monday we kind of suggested jokingly that maybe he's confiscating all this money to try to cover what they have lost in terms of the country's foreign reserves. They've lost about $250 billion in foreign reserves over the last couple of years, as Gerald Celente was pointing out, because they can't sell oil at the price they need to make a profit. So their reserves have gone down by $250 billion. Hey, here's a solution. Let's just go out and confiscate $800 billion from our enemies here in the Saudi kingdom. That should keep us going on for a while, shouldn't it, Gerald?
Yeah, and again, this here's the chart. I don't know if you could see it. That's their inventory. You can see it on the left over here, how their income. You can see how it's declined since 2006. Mm-hmm. They don't have any money coming in. And right. So now they're waging wars. You know, this 2.5-year-old Yemen war is just draining them. Oh, and by the way, the Yemenis are not allowed to attack back. You're only allowed to attack them. It's an act of war. If you declare war on someone, bomb them every day, and then when they try to fight back, well, how dare they? You know, they're militants.
Right. And they use that as an excuse to say we're going to drag Iran and Lebanon into this because they want to go after Hezbollah. And, of course, the U.S. government and the Israeli government, they had Israeli television stations say, look, we have this cable between the Israelis and the Saudis. And everybody go, wait a minute, the Arabs and the Israelis are coordinating on this? Well, of course, because they have all these different groups of Arabs and the different sects of Islam, and they hate each other as much as they hate us. And so, they both want to go after Hezbollah. This may be their chance because under the Obama administration, they were very friendly to Iran. You had Valerie, who had grown up in Iran. And so they were making some great overtures there to Iran. So now they're looking at this and saying, we've got to move on this while they don't have any protectors in Washington, I think is what they're saying.
Well, also go back to May and listen to the crown prince. He goes, you know, we won't wait for the battle with Iran to be in Saudi Arabia. Instead, we will work so that the battle is for them in Iran, not Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So this guy's been pushing for this a long time. And then you're mentioning about what's going on with Hezbollah and Iran. Look what happened. And we were talking before about Syria. You know, when Russia got involved in Syria, that was the game changer. Assad has to go. Kerry, Obama, Clinton. And now Assad's there, and ISIS, as you pointed out, is leaving. And go back to 2 years ago, just about to the date. It was in October, actually, October 2nd, 2015, when Russia announced that they were going in. Obama said, they're going to be caught in a quagmire. They're going to be stuck there. And he was, again, as he was wrong with mostly everything. So we're looking at, and as you pointed out, you know, this has been going on since what? The death of the Prophet Muhammad, you know, between the Sunnis and the Shia. Oh, we're going to get involved in this thing? Oh, I got an idea. We'll fix it right away.
That's right. You know, and to give you an idea of where this crown prince is going, he just had this globalist confab, first time they've done it. They called it Davos in the Desert's what people nicknamed it. And of course, he had all the big central bankers, foreign prime ministers that were meeting there. And he's showing everybody this city that he's going to build and spend $500 billion on this modern city. And I'm looking at this, and you're talking just before we went to break, saying they're not making any money off of this. They've got to get to $100 a barrel oil before they can make money. So with all these problems, what does he do? He tries some retail therapy. I mean, this is basically what he's doing. You know, when they were having austerity problems and they were cutting off people's incomes, and they really, I guess you could say Saudi Arabia, the first people to put out universal basic income. You want to see how well that works? Take a look at Saudi Arabia. So they've got a bunch of people who don't really have any job skills. They can't build this city. They can't maintain this city. But he's going to go out and spend $500 billion on a new city, his Vision 2030 city. And when he responded to the austerity stuff, he goes to take a $100 million vacation on the French Riviera, and he buys himself a $500 million yacht. So now they got bigger problems, so they're going to buy a $500 billion city. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole thing is ridiculous. Oh, and the other point, too, by the way, you know, a big portion of Saudi Arabia's population is Shia. Mm-hmm. And they're over there in the eastern part where the oil fields are. And when this war began, by the way, when the Crown Prince launched it against, and by the way, the United States is involved in this. We're doing reconnaissance, intelligence, air refueling of the planes. And of course, between Obama and Bush, a couple of $100 billion, the UK, in selling them armaments to do this. You know, so this has been going on with him, and since he's launched it, and there's no end in sight. But when they launched it, they said, we're going to attack you for attacking us. So why shouldn't anyone accept, why shouldn't anyone not believe that the Houthis are going to retaliate? Oh, and by the way, from all the data, and we've been following this from the beginning, the Houthis, the Shia, they're very different than the Iranians. And Iran's level involvement of this, from all reports, is very, very minimal, if at all. This has nothing to do with that. Yemen has been in turmoil. Matter of fact, we were writing, David, when Obama made the decision to get rid of Gaddafi and how Gaddafi didn't respect his people. The head, Salah at the time, the head of Yemen, the very same day, he killed like about 40 people. It didn't make the news at all. That's in Yemen. He could do that. He's on our side. But what I'm saying is this thing has been unraveling a long time in Yemen. We have no business being there.
Here's an idea, Gerald, that I'm concerned about. And that is when I look at the European Union and I look at the fact that you had the first Bilderberg Convention where they're talking about European Union common currency to make that happen and so forth. That happened 10 years a day after the last Nazi victory in World War II, at the spot of the last Nazi victory. And we had American globalists who were essentially just parasites occupying America as a host. But they wanted to have somebody where they could pick up the phone and talk to Europe. That's what they said. Who do we call if we want to pick up the phone and talk to Europe? They wanted to have a consolidated Europe. That's what the American globalists wanted. Do you think that maybe they want a consolidated Middle East and that we're going to see wars throughout this area to make that happen with all these different regime change? Going back to Wesley Clark saying, yeah, we got all these different countries that we're going to go right down the list and take them down. Is that the ultimate goal here, you think, that the globalists want to have a unified Arabia? They can pick up the phone and call somebody, whether it's a Saudi prince or whatever?
Yes, and it goes down to the bottom line again, as I keep saying. You think we would have invaded Libya and Iraq if their major export was broccoli?
Yeah,
I mean, it's about oil.
That's right.
You know,
that's
going
right.
back to, and again, staying with the oil and the economy, you know, right now the markets, and you well know, we were the first magazine to call the Trump victory, and I did 180 when Trump got elected, and we said, no, this market rally is real. Now it's a year old. And we were very negative on the equity markets. But there's an insecurity.
All right, we got to take a break, Gerald. Stay with us when we come back. Let's talk about what's going to happen with the stock market. Let's talk about the uncertainty and the effect that's going to have on gold and cryptocurrency.
Into all of
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. We are now, I guess, about 32 hours. We've been going. We got about another 8 hours left of the 34-hour broadcast. And this is to celebrate the defeat of Hillary Clinton, the election of President Trump, American rebirth and renaissance. And as part of this, we have discounted a lot of our products, our most popular products, by 50%. And free shipping with those products as well. Let me give you an example of some of these. Super Blue, fluoride-free mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. Also, Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, that's 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, a great way to take essential vitamins and minerals without having to swallow a lot of pills. All of our apparel, Biome Defense, our probiotics, all of those, 50% off with free shipping. And finally, Super Male and Super Female Vitality, also 50% off with free shipping. We really do appreciate your support. That's what makes this program, everything we do here at InfoWars, possible. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of these massive discounts along with free shipping as part of our 34-hour broadcast, America, Rebirth, and Renaissance. We're talking to Gerald Celente. He publishes Trends Journal. He's been a very successful trends forecaster for a long time. You can find out information about Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. That's where you can find out how to subscribe to that. Gerald, you know, we've been talking about war in the Middle East, and of course, that always is going to affect the price of oil. Oil is going to affect our economy, but now we've got instability and war within Saudi Arabia. That's going to affect not only the price of oil and our economy, but our dollar, which is fundamentally backed up by the petrodollar, the alliance that we've had with Saudi Arabia since 1973. So let's talk about, since there's some exposure here on currency, let's talk about some of the hedges there with gold and oil, because we may have a pen that's going to burst this stock market bubble as well. That's another risk factor that's coming in right now, because if we don't get substantial tax reform, if we don't get tax reform at all, which may be a possibility, if we don't have that happen this year, there's been a lot of expectation built into this soaring stock market that we're going to have a tax reduction. And if that doesn't happen, or if it doesn't happen to a large degree, that is also going to be a pen to burst the bubble of the stock market, isn't it?
Yes, and it's very well put. And investors, again, they feel insecure about the market. So they've been going up. And as you're pointing out, one of the reasons they have been going up is because of the expectations of tax breaks, infrastructure repair, and deregulation. And a lot of that hasn't happened, particularly infrastructure. There's nowhere to go with that at all. And don't forget, too, this is a global increase in markets. You know, a lot of them doing even better than the United States. So we see what's going on in Saudi Arabia. It's not going to be all this clear cut where, you know, the little king over there is going to, in waiting, is going to get his way. There's going to be opposition forces. And as I also mentioned, a good portion of Saudi Arabia is Shia. And you also have destabilization in Bahrain with that Shia population. And we'll look what's going on in Iraq now in the Kurdistan region. So there's destabilization in the area. And so we're saying, and we don't give financial advice, we're telling our subscribers to really consider gold and cryptocurrencies as safe haven assets, because we see this thing getting loose. Again, this king keeps calling out Iran. Matter of fact, when we were taking a break, I was just reading, this is actually what they said. Quote, "We see this as an act of war," the Saudi foreign minister Adel Joubert said in an interview on CNN. "Iran cannot lob missiles at Saudi cities and towns and expect us not to take steps." Iran didn't lob missiles at Saudi cities and towns. That's a lie. But hey, you know, why not? I'll tell you what, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda and Al Capone and Al Nusra and everybody else, you know.
And we had a Gulf of Tonkin resolution as well, didn't we?
Exactly. It never happened. So the Gulf of Tonkin incident, of course, you know, as people know. And again, I compliment you very much. There are very few shows that I go on that people have the knowledge and insights and that know the current events as well as the past that you do. So it's really real news gives people a great opportunity to see how we got here, where we are, and where we're going that you don't find anywhere else. So
thank you, Gerald. I wanted to get your take on gold versus Bitcoin, because I just saw an article, a couple of articles, as a matter of fact, that said more people for the first time are searching for information about Bitcoin than they are for gold. That seems to be where people are headed more so than gold.
Yes, and you see, we've been writing about this now going on for some time, that cryptocurrencies are the millennials' gold. My generation was gold, there's cryptocurrency. That doesn't mean it's going to go away, but here's also what's happening. Gold sales are down, you know, for the possession, and it's because of cryptocurrencies. There's no question about it, and the gold dealers will tell you as well. So this isn't going away. Remember what happened with China at the end of September. They made it illegal. They closed down the Bitcoin exchanges. So it dropped from going back to 2016, when about 90% of the action was coming out of China. It dropped to 5%. It's back to 20% now. They're doing it without the Chinese government because it's the internet world, and they're going on secure sites like a number of them. Where
and, of course, we also had the Japanese come in and say, hey, we're going to be a safe haven for people who want to be able to redeem their cryptocurrency, their virtual currency, into governmental currency. So even though, you know, they wisely made a move as China said, we're going to shut this down because we want to control people. Japan said, hey, we're here. We're going to offer you a way to get your money out of Bitcoin safely.
Yes. And again, it's Telegram. That's the very secure one that they're using out of China. Again, now 20% of the action is coming out of China, down from 5%. And and also South Korea, big buyers. The United States is a small section of the buying public in the Bitcoin world. So we're telling our subscribers is that this is a time to take secure steps in a time of instability. And as you well pointed out, this story is hardly being covered by the media. And when it is, it's very much skewed to the way they want us to interpret it, as they do with most everything. So again, going back to the holiday season, again, current events, look at the markets, why they're going down today. It's on retail sales, a spike. People cannot afford a sharp spike in gasoline prices. Mm-hmm. The psychological effect will be very heavy on the holiday season. We expect gold prices to, our breakout point again for gold, it has to go over strong 1400. But if you see it sharply escalating in the 1300 range, we think this is a move up. And again, the cryptocurrencies, a lot of volatility, but a lot of people are buying them, so you can't ignore it.
Yeah, and when you look at what's happened just within, what has it been? Last month, maybe 6 weeks, you had Jamie Dimon come out and trash talk it, as well as another big hedge fund manager, and it dropped from 4,000 to 3,000, and everybody talked about it at that point, but they didn't talk about the fact that it regained all that within 5 days and got back to 4,000. Now where is it? It's over 7,000. So that's where it's at now, yeah. About 7,600, or what is it?
Yeah, it's over 7,000 today.
Yeah.
It's closing up near almost 8,000, and it came back. But what we're saying is this is putting the banksters out of business. That's why they hate it so much. And in one comment, he talks about, well, it's only digital currency. And then he says, well, J.P. Morgan Chase, we deal with digital dollars. Oh, okay. Digital dollars are okay, but digital currencies aren't. Matter of fact, that's why millennials and many are buying into it, because you only could print so many digital dollars that are printed on nothing, but you could print all the digital dollars based on nothing and backed by nothing from the central banks.
That's right. Yeah, you actually have to do some mining. You have to expend computer time. You have to expend real costs in terms of the computers and electricity to actually create Bitcoin, which is more than they have to do for any of the Federal Reserve dollars. They have no cost involved in that whatsoever.
And again, it's going on all over the world. Look what's going on in Japan. I mean, the negative interest rates. We joked about this the last time. You know, you buy a 10-year bond, and they give you less than what you bought the bond for in 10 years. So
it's
a Japanese government that's buying up the bonds and propping up the market with all their cheap money. And the same thing in China. You know, the Chinese numbers coming out now, you just saw oil going into China. It was down significantly in the last quarter. They're keeping these economies going. China's debt level went from about 20 years ago, it was about $500 billion. It's $40 trillion around there now. So all these central banks are just printing up their fake money.
That's right. And, of course, they don't pay anybody any interest. They charge usurious interest rates on credit cards and other things. But, of course, they've taken it down to zero for everybody else. That's one of the reasons people are willing to speculate. Thank you so much for joining us. Gerald Celente. You can find Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. Stay with us. 7 more hours of our 34-hour broadcast.